Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today's an off day for the Padres, and we've got Jesse Agler in studio along with Kurt Bevacqua, who's here to give us some insight on the Padres and keep us on the air should anything ever go wrong.
I have context, so if we need to hook up with like a phone line or anything like that, I can take care of it.
You think this runs on a telephone line? Is that the sort of operation?
Just in case.
Kurt's also here to help keep our producer, Blooper, in line.
Well, if you put him on a leash, you're good.
Put a little bell on him like a cow.
Exactly.
Come here. Come on.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Kurt Bevacqua.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour. It is a Monday off day, the final off day of the 2015 season. It becomes one of those things you say this time of year, the final this, the final that. Tomorrow, the start of the final home series, Tyson Ross's final start of the season, etc., etc., etc. But that is, unfortunately, where we are right now. We're also at the AMR studio. That's Kurt Bevacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Welcome. Thanks for joining us on this Padre off day series against the Brewers. Let's pick the most random team in the National League possible and drop them in here into the final home series of the season. Brewers, 66 wins. Perfect. They'll be here tomorrow. Get ready for that. And then off to Los Angeles for the weekend to take on the Dodgers, the final three games of the season. I feel like we're going to say this a lot this week, Kurt. My, how time flies.
Boy, no kidding.
Right?
It really is amazing. I think this year has gone quicker than any other baseball season I can remember.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know why.
Okay.
Maybe it's because I was fairly busy throughout the course of the year.
Sure.
And I don't know whether the time goes by quicker when you're disappointed or when you're excited.
I feel like when you're disappointed, it can drag, though, right? Wouldn't that make sense? But I know you're disappointed, so that runs counter to that.
Disappointed big time.
Yeah.
So you try to go to sleep it off, and you wake up in the middle of the night disappointed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then you go back to sleep, and you wake up in the morning disappointed. You just can't escape it.
Yeah, no, that's kind of the way the baseball season is.
Wow.
It just sort of follows you around, and sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it is not. But anyway, last night, yesterday, I guess, a day game, a 4-2 loss to the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll certainly talk about that. Also going to get into this Papelbon stuff. I was excited when I remembered that you were with me today on the show. I've said this 100 times this year, and I mean it. The cool thing for me about this show, one of the cool things about this show is the rotating co-hosts. You bring a different perspective than Randy, who brings a different perspective than Bill, and so on and so forth. And whenever confrontation is involved, I'm always excited when you're going to be a part of this. And so Papelbon and Harper yesterday in Washington, obviously everybody has had their hot take. But I do want to discuss it with you. So we'll do all of that as time goes on. We'll get to questions and comments from folks on Twitter, Papelbon and otherwise, using the hashtag PadresSH. And in addition to all of that, we're going to replay an interview we did last week with Bill Walton. He was here to promote the Big Bill Walton Basketball Festival. I love that so much. Just the way it's named, I love. That's coming up at Petco Park in December. A really just, you know, interesting interview, obviously, because it is with him that Jordan and Randy did last week. And so we'll play that back for you in case you missed it. It was entertaining. But let's start with the actual game yesterday and the 4-2 loss. One of my main thoughts, Kurt, coming out of the game was, all right, no more Ender Inciarte this year, and that's fine. Cross him off the list. Don't have to deal with this guy anymore. He absolutely kills the Padres.
He really does, and he didn't have any history off of James Shields before yesterday, with the exception of three at-bats. So James didn't have anything really to go on. But after the first couple of at-bats, he should have seen that he was on his pitches fairly well, and that's why I was a little bit disappointed with the seventh-inning home run. I think an experienced pitcher, James even said after the game, he's not going to give up that many home runs next year.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. I don't know how he plans on doing that. I need to talk to him and find out, because if he can come up with a plan on not giving up home runs, then he should be able to pass that on to other pitchers also.
It's a good skill to have.
It really is a good skill to have.
Yeah.
But you're right. Inciarte damaged the ball club this year.
Yeah.
He really did. He swings a good bat. And I tell you what, they've got a couple of players on their team that swing the bat really well and with the exception of a couple of starting pitchers, they might not be too far away from being the type of team that enters into the conversation of being a contender.
Their pitching is the issue. You know, that's really what it is, because you're right. Offensively, you start with Goldschmidt, one of the best hitters in the National League. You talk about the outfield, and it's Pollock and Peralta and Inciarte, and you throw Yasmani Tomas into that mix in some way, shape, or form. And I don't even know that they know necessarily how he fits in moving forward, and maybe they trade him. But those guys are all really quality ball players. You know, got a couple infielders they like. Wellington Castillo seems to have figured out how to hit since they acquired him this season. Third team in 1 year, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's good now. Like, he's kind of been an interesting guy.
Salta Lamacchia shows up, and he hits too.
All of a sudden, he's kind of found it again a little bit. I don't know that you can necessarily count on that next year.
That's true.
But they do have some, like, really, really good offensive pieces. The pitching is going to be problematic for them, and that's going to be the big thing that they've got to solve. And that's interesting because so many teams right now, it seem like, have the pitching and are trying to figure out the offense. You know, and you got a couple of teams now, very few who have quote unquote excess offensive pieces. I think the Diamondbacks, you could argue, are one. The Cubs, you could argue, are another. But most teams are in the complete opposite, you know, universe, right? Where, you know, they feel pretty good about their pitching. They're not giving up a ton of runs. They just need bats. And so that puts both Arizona and the Cubs, I think, in really good positions heading into this offseason, because if they do want to wheel and deal, they've got some things offensively that other teams will probably overpay for when it comes to pitching. So I don't know that that was necessarily by design, but it sort of is the way it is for the Diamondbacks and the Cubs right now. You know, whether they intended to stockpile offensive pieces or not, they sort of have. And now if they want, you know, they can make some moves. But I agree with you. You take a look up and down at the Diamondback roster, and their record right now is just about the same as the Padres this season. But there are definitely some guys there where you say, oh, there's a developing core. And I guess anytime you can put Goldschmidt in the middle of a lineup, you feel pretty good about, you know, whatever you put around
him. Maybe a combination of rosters would work.
Right? Put them together?
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
I think you could come up with 25 pretty nice players.
The Padre backs?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you put the two teams together.
Exactly.
And boy, that's a 95-win team.
I think you should be able to do that for, like, a certain part of the season if you're out so many games.
Yeah.
Just combine with another team.
In the division series this year, the Dodgers are hosting the Padre backs. Yeah.
Commissioner needs to look at that.
All right. There you go.
There are certain things we need to look at.
It's a little bit outside of the
box. You got to have fun when you're playing. There's so much going on between now and the 2016 season that's going to happen in baseball. I think it's an exciting time. I think we've got something to look forward to with the divisional series that are coming up. The wild card games.
I mean,
all of that stuff is going to be really, really exciting. And you know what? They could possibly play Game 7 of the World Series on November 4th.
Yes.
2 months after that, it's time for spring training.
That's exactly right.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, the World Series will begin, weather permitting, on October 27th. The only way you play the World Series in October, only in October, is if there's a sweep. If they have a four-game sweep without any weather, you know, rainouts, snowouts, anything like that, the entirety of the World Series will be played in October. If there is a Game 5, they'll be into November.
Snowouts.
It happens. It can happen. El Nino.
It is just not right to play baseball in cold weather.
I don't know that they'll have major scheduling changes for next year because next year is locked in. But the collective bargaining agreement expires after next season, and I think that would be a great place for Major League Baseball and the MLBPA, Players Association, to get together and say, all right, let's work on the schedule thing. And whether it's going from 162 to 154 or whether it's starting a little bit earlier, I don't know. I don't know what the correct solution is. There are arguments for a lot of different things, but that would be a good time, I think, to address that and say, all right, how do we want to do this? How do we want to handle that? All right, I want to do another thing from yesterday's game. We got a lot to talk about from yesterday, but two guys who we've talked a lot about recently have really been fun in the last couple of weeks. You know, things for the Padres obviously not going as any of us would have hoped. But Corey Spangenberg, he's at like 284 since coming off the DL. He's just doing a really nice job now at third base with Solarte hurt. And Travis Jankowski playing center field is a really enjoyable thing to watch. They both made things happen on the base paths with their speed the last couple of days. And Jankowski, a defensive play yesterday, among the finest that we've seen all season, I think, in the outfield. It's going to be our Montalvo Tequila smooth play of the game. I mean, that's a long way to run. That's full extension. And he gets the hat tip from James Shields. He has been really, really fun to watch in the outfield.
when James takes his hat off, his hair always looks good. That's kind of amazing.
He's got a great head of hair.
Yeah, absolutely it is. But Jankowski and Spangenberg, you're right. They've been doing really well. As a matter of fact, I did not know where I was as far as my thought process on what the future held for Corey Spangenberg, mm-hmm. not only with the San Diego Padres, but his future at the major league level. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. Maybe a couple of months ago or a month and a half ago, I was under the impression that he might make a good utility player. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I don't feel that way anymore.
I don't think you're alone.
I think Corey Spangenberg has proved himself, at least in the last month, to where he should be mentioned to be in the lineup a lot in 2016. And I think he just might. He's a spunky player. The same thing with Jankowski. You want to see them be able to do the little things. I think if you look at some of the two best teams in baseball right now, two of some of the best teams in baseball, let me put it that way, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Kansas City Royals, they play little baseball sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not always big baseball. And they're winners. They're perennial winners. They've got good baseball teams. They have good organizations. I think that's something that this ball club could look at doing going into 2016 is combining the home run with little baseball.
And defense.
And defense.
Because that goes with small ball usually.
Absolutely it
does. Those guys generally are, you know, good at both of those things. Usually the small ball guys are good defensive players because they're speedy, you know, whatever.
And when things settle down with players knowing where they're going to play, I think that defense is going to get a lot better.
All right. That was our Montalvo Tequila Smooth Play of the Game. Triple distilled, exceedingly smooth, and locally owned. Montalvo Tequila, where craft meets crowd. It's like any sport. It's kind of a copycat league. And, all right, who's successful now? St. Louis is successful now. Kansas City, you mentioned they're successful now. Houston, you know, is a little bit like that. They've got the boppers, but then they've got a couple little, the quick guys too, the lightning bug type guys, and for the most part they play pretty good defense. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it all comes together and how much of an overhaul takes place in the different spots around Major League Baseball as teams try and remake themselves in maybe some other fashion. All right, well, we'll take a break, come back, maybe a little bit more on James Shields. Also, though, some interesting injury updates for a couple of teams headed to the playoffs, including a team, the St. Louis Cardinals, you just mentioned, Yadier Molina. Some new news on his thumb injury, and it is not good news for the Cardinals. We'll also get into the Papelbon thing for sure with Kurt Bavacqua, and we'll have our Bill Walton interview as well. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break, come back, your questions, your comments, etc., etc. Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back with Kurt Bavacqua. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Yadier Molina, catcher for the Cardinals, now officially out for the rest of the regular season with that thumb ligament. Originally, they said, hey, we'll reassess in 5 to 7 days. Hopefully, we get him back. Now, even his postseason availability is a little bit in question. The Cards aren't saying too much about it, but that would be a major, major blow, obviously, for the Redbirds if he were unable to go in the playoffs.
Yeah, that really is too bad. Anytime you get a ball club that's played as well as the Cardinals have all year long, and he's just the main cog in that lineup, and he goes down, it's just, it's unfair, but injuries happen.
Yeah.
And you just have to rely on your other players to step in and be able to do the job. And hopefully, whoever that person is, he's going to be able to do it, and Yadier can come back quickly.
The injury, if you haven't seen it, by the way, it was a foot first slide by our buddy Anthony Rizzo at the plate against Molina. And, you know, Yadier did what the rules prescribe. He was out in front of the plate, not blocking it, and he has to sort of swipe back with the left hand with the glove to tag Rizzo, and he slid right into him, and he's got the ligament damage in the thumb. It's sort of another topic maybe for another day, but these rules to protect the catchers – the concussions are going to go way down. There's no question. And that's good because that's the serious life stuff, not just the out for a little bit of time stuff. But I imagine you're going to see a lot more hand, arm, shoulder, elbow injuries from catchers in these situations because they're almost sort of having to stand out in front of the plate and just kind of expose their left arms, hands, shoulders, as I said. You know, when Derek Norris had that one a couple of weeks ago, I thought
that's a great point.
I thought it was going to be a major shoulder thing because, you know, it can just pop out of the socket. Molina obviously is an example with the thumb, you know, on that glove hand. I think you're going to see more injuries like that from catchers than maybe we've ever seen before.
So do you change the rules back?
No, because I think head injuries are such a serious thing right now and so on the social conscience that you can't. You know, the collisions have to go.
Is that why they changed the collision rule at home plate? Because of concussions?
I'm sure it is. I mean, we call it the Buster Posey rule.
I never really got that.
Oh, no, I think for sure.
Really?
Yeah, that's why people call it the Posey rule. He had, you know, the one a couple of years ago where he got his bell rung and he was out, you know, for the rest of the season. And they're saying, hey, these are star players. These are serious injuries. You know, in other sports, concussions are obviously a hot topic. But I do think the catchers are more opened up now to these sorts of injuries because of the rule change. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing. But I'm saying it's something to think about. It's something to be aware of because that's dangerous for other reasons, what they have to do now. Anyway, I said that was another topic for yep. another time. There's stuff I do want to get to besides from that. The other big injury for a playoff team is right now Troy Tulowitzki. Remember he had that weird, you know, sort of backpedal play in the infield and he cracked a shoulder blade. It looked so innocuous. And so he's been out for a couple of weeks now. And Tulowitzki saying today, hey, I'm good to go for the playoffs. I will be in there when the playoffs start. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see how healthy he is and how effective he is. But good news for the Blue Jays, certainly. One other note from around baseball, Jerry DePoto, the former Angel GM, hired officially today by the Mariners as their new general manager. So welcome to Peoria, Jerry DePoto. We'll see you in the spring. He's the new GM for Seattle. All right, Jonathan Papelbon. Everybody saw it yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's goading Bryce Harper, his teammate, and it turns into this crazy thing in the dugout. Today, the newest news, I guess, is that the Nationals suspended him for the remainder of the season. He had already been suspended by Major League Baseball for throwing at Manny Machado, so the Nats throw another four games on top of it, so he's done for the rest of the year. Their GM, Mike Rizzo, said, quote, the behavior exhibited by Papelbon yesterday is not acceptable. That is not at all in line with the way our players are expected to conduct themselves, and the Nationals organization will not tolerate it in any way. So he is done for the year. Your take, Kurt, you are old school, and there is an old school corner of baseball that is defending Jonathan Papelbon. It's isolated. It's out there by itself. But there are people who understand or say they understand what Papelbon did and even that they endorse what Papelbon did. To me, that is inexplicable, but I do want to give you your opportunity here because I said I'm very curious to see where you land on this one.
Well, the first thing I want to say is for all the viewers to know that this happens many, many, many more times than you might think. Mm-hmm. It really does. And pre the crazy media days, which are now where cameras are everywhere, MLB has a camera in every Major League dugout in Major League Baseball. And that's the reason that these type of shots can be had. You see everything. Mm-hmm. You really do. Mm-hmm. And I say big deal.
So you're going, hey, brothers will fight, kind of route.
I say big deal.
What about the fact that it's your gas can of a closer attacking the league MVP? Does that change anything for you?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
Okay.
Because
Papelbon's been terrible since he got there.
He has.
Just terrible.
He has, but a player's ability shouldn't have anything to do with it. He's a member of a 25-man team. And I know that this ball club has had struggles throughout the course of the season. This ball club was struggling before Jonathan Papelbon got there. Mm-hmm. Maybe Jonathan Papelbon has seen something in the last 2 months since he's been there. And he's the kind of guy that's going to come out and say something. And I'm not sticking up for either one of these guys. Mm-hmm. Because I think Harper has his issues. And I think Papelbon also has his. And it just happened.
That I agree with a lot of what you're saying, to be honest, about, you know, there's an element of boys will be boys to this, but I don't know. To me, it does matter who the players are. It does. Yeah, to me it does. It does. And Papelbon has been terrible, terrible since his arrival.
So
there.
Only a star can attack a star, and only a relief pitcher can't talk to an everyday player.
I think it's part of it, and that
really?
Sounds weird maybe. And Bryce Harper, you say Harper has his issues. What are his issues? That he's leading the league in every category, basically? Like, I don't know that Bryce Harper has issues. He came up with a lot of pomp and circumstance, and so there are people that are resentful of that, and there are people that don't like him for it, and he's quote-unquote flashy. This year, all the guy has done is been the best player in the National League, and by a lot, by the way. By a lot.
Well, he's also dogged it at times.
And that's what a lot of people are saying maybe was the root, or not the root, but the powder keg went off yesterday because he, quote-unquote, didn't run out a pop-up. And so the play the game the right way police came back around. I hate –
The play the game the right way police?
Yeah, that's who you started hearing.
To play the game the right way.
Yeah.
If you're the star,
yeah.
It's not very hard to run a ball out every time you hit it.
No, it's not.
That's
First
the
of all,
one thing –
What he did, I've seen everybody else in the league do 1,000 times this season, A. B, it was a day game the day after they're officially eliminated from postseason contention. I don't know how many star players are even in the lineup that day in those circumstances. C, to me, the guy's hitting .336 with 41 home runs. Who is anybody to tell him to play the game differently than he's playing it at this point? He has played it, as I said, better than everybody else.
Hey, again, I'm not sticking up for either one of them.
Yeah.
But I've seen it before. I mean, he was benched for dogging it down to first base by his manager.
Uh-huh.
That's the guy who is the essence of this issue right here and has really lied coming into all of the press conferences and everything that happened yesterday is Matt Williams. For him to say that he didn't know what was going on in that dugout
bad.
Is crazy.
Bad.
It's absolutely crazy.
I don't know if it's worse if that's true or not. Like, which is worse, that he saw and realized what happened and froze, or that he was that unaware of something taking place 20 feet to his right?
No,
which of those things is worse?
He's right in the middle of everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When he was a player. And he is the kind of player that's going to speak up, that's going to get on a guy for not running out balls or not doing this or not doing that. Now, did Papelbon do it in the right frame? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, hanging over the dugout, like railing as he's coming back.
I don't think it was Harper dogging it, running down to first base yesterday, as much as it was the comment that Harper made after Papelbon hit Machado the other night.
And I would say there's, to me, very little chance that that was the first thing. That was the first public thing.
You're probably right.
But I'm thinking if that was said publicly last week, there was probably some boiling over, you know, that took place leading up to it. I think also there is a changing of the guard taking place in baseball and a generational shift that is occurring right now. And this is my main point, which is that, you know, Papelbon is on one side of the divide. Harper is on the other side of the divide. And to Harper and a lot of people who are coming into the game, and I don't just mean players, I mean fans, broadcasters, media, I include myself in this category, we are less concerned with bat flips and those sorts of things than a previous generation, so to speak. And I think that this is an element that is going to come up some more because there are people now who are like, why would you throw at Manny Machado? He didn't do anything but his job. Papelbon
How do
doesn't
you know
agree
he threw
with
at him?
I mean, it was pretty obvious. It was pretty obvious.
Yeah, but you don't
even
know for
Papelbon
sure.
Papelbon didn't even deny it. Let's not do the, oh, he didn't admit to it, so.
No. I'm
I
not,
think everybody
like
knows
I said,
he
I'm not sticking up for him. And the bat flip thing, I've even flipped over from that. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think it's all part of this conversation, though, and we're reaching a tipping point. And maybe yesterday was the tipping point with the generational shift occurring in baseball. And the things that you used to be able to get upset about, you're no longer going to be upset about as like a larger culture. I don't know. It's tough. But to your Boys Will Be Boys comment, great quote from Harper after the game today. Hey, if he's going to help us win a World Series next year, that's what I need. That's what this whole clubhouse needs. Maybe they are trying to put it behind them. Although a lot of people saying, I don't know how Papelbon ever shows up in that clubhouse again.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that. Anyway, we got to take a break.
Okay.
We got the Bill Walton interview coming up. Curious what people think about this, and we'll get back to it again in a little bit. Do you have what it takes to be a member of the Pod Squad? Join the Padres for the 2016 Pod Squad auditions November 21st for your chance to be a part of San Diego's All-Star season. To apply, visit Padres.com/Pod Squad, Padres.com/Pod Squad. There is no doubt Blooper will be taking part in the Pod Squad auditions. We will make sure that happens. Take a break, come back, Bill Walton, and then your questions and comments. Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Hi, welcome back to the AMR studio. We'll get more into Papelbon. We got a lot of comments coming in. Bavacqua and I will continue to discuss our thoughts on that thing from yesterday, but do want to have some fun here. Bill Walton was at the ballpark the other day, the legend himself, here to promote the Bill Walton Basketball Festival that's coming up. If you missed this interview, well, we've got you covered. Jordan and Randy were here. Enjoy Bill Walton on Padres Social Hour.
Bill Walton is here. Bill Walton, welcome in.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world, Jordan. Nice to see you wearing the Aztec shirt, but I'm here today to talk about basketball and the great event that we're going to be having right here at Petco Park on December 5th, Saturday, 2 p.m. in the afternoon. We're going to be playing a basketball game on the field at Petco Park between the San Diego State Aztecs and the USG Toreros.
That's going to be incredible, but you know what you got to tell me about the Bill Walton Basketball Festival.
That's what we're doing.
The prior days, the days. That's November 30th, though.
Right. Well, we're going to have the whole week, Randy. I mean, we just started the show here. We can't, like, just spill the whole thing right out at the beginning.
What, do you think you're going to be here the whole hour, Bill?
Well, I'm not.
No.
Really?
No, we got to go.
This is a dream come true for me to be sitting on your couch here. Where's your dog?
Yeah.
Hey. I love when you bring your dog
down. Tell you what, next time.
What's that dog's name again?
RJ.
RJ.
Kept it original.
The creative mind of R. Randy Jones. That's what it. Could be better? But anyway, the Bill Walton Festival of Life, Basketball Festival of Life, is going to be here in San Diego, my hometown, and we're going to be just doing stuff all week long. And this is really a spectacular opportunity for me. And I'm just so lucky and privileged and honored and humbled to do this. Always a little uncomfortable, Randy, when they put your name on the thing. But
right.
I'm a volunteer here, and so I'll do whatever it takes to make it happen, because basketball in this city is just – it has given me the greatest life ever. And for me to be able to come back and be a part of this and do all the different things that are going to go on, because there's going to be educational seminars, there's going to be programs for the children, there's going to be tons of games that are going to be going on. It's going to be an all-encompassing series of programs that just address everything. And there will be programs for the children, there will be music, there will be concerts, and there will be seminars and programs, and we're just going to have a grand time.
That's awesome. I'm really excited.
And tickets go on sale tomorrow morning.
That's right.
10 a.m., 18,000 seats. You got to get them early, because the Aztecs and the Toreros, when they play, those tickets just get scooped up right away.
And also the first basketball game ever here at Petco Park. Come on, that's
well,
exciting.
Look at how many great things happen right here.
I agree.
And the baseball, how fun that is, but the concerts and what Ron Fowler and Mike D and the Padres and the city have been able to come up with as Petco as a true, complete entertainment venue here to just do everything. And you and I, we both come here all the time to do the corporate presentations here and all the suites around and just all the business that goes down here, and it's just fantastic. And then the ancillary stuff that goes around and the park in the park and all the restaurants and all the lounges and all the bars and all the just beautiful people walking around all the time.
Absolutely.
And
amazing.
We get to do it in our hometown. What more could you ask for?
So the basketball court is going to be there the whole week. So you're going to have the whole week leading up to the big game, San Diego State and USD.
That's the penultimate game at the beginning, at the end, Jordan.
Correct.
2 o'clock on Saturday, December 5th. Tickets on sale tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Yeah.
What is it like for you to see a basketball court inside a baseball stadium?
Perfect.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
We have a picture of it.
There it is.
Well,
that's going to be great.
So the court's going to go from home plate down to the third baseline. They'll bring in seats on where the pitcher's mound.
Look, they played tennis here. Come on.
Right. That's true.
They had the Rolling Stones here. I was here. They had Paul McCartney. I was here. They had Taylor Swift. I was going to be here, but I had to be out of town on business. Oh, man. It was just fantastic.
You missed out on Taylor Swift.
Yeah, no, she's awesome.
Yeah.
I love the music, and I'm trying my darndest just to get a great concert for right after the big game on the
field. Really?
Oh, yeah. We just bring out some drums, bring out some singers, some guitar players, some piano players, some dancing girls.
If anybody can do this, Bill Walton can do it.
Yeah, if it was up to you, who would you bring in there? I mean, if it was completely up to you.
Well, somebody who can set up quickly, get right to it, and put on a great dance concert. And there's a lot of musicians that can do that. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, Bill. Well, I think it's awesome you lend your name to something like this and how special that is.
But just think for a minute, Randy. You know, when you were a child growing up there in Brea, in Orange County there, and you had your dreams, and you were watching all these guys who were just your heroes.
That's right.
We're relatively the same age. You're a bit older than me. I can tell just by looking at you.
I'll listen to you.
No, it's all good. But to see what sports means to the community and how it brings us all together. And, it's the ultimate front porch in life, to where we can put our differences aside and we can just come and figure things out how we're going to get better, and to use sports athletics to make a better life for all of us. And then the fact that the Padres are the masters at combining sports and business. And then we have this most beautiful city in the world right here. To be able to witness over my 62 years now how this city has grown. And to be able to still ride my bike all around the town and just to see everybody and to see the joy and the happiness and everybody coming to Petco Park all the time. Let's just go down and have some fun. And now we get to come down and play some basketball.
That's exciting.
How many other cities get to take an indoor sport outdoors in December? Not many.
All the venues we've had here, whether it be tennis, now basketball, everything that we've done, the concerts, unreal.
But, Jordan, what will happen ultimately is that people will see the remarkable success that this Festival of Life will become. Because this is not just a one-off deal. The plan is to just do it every single year and bring in other teams, hopefully work it to a doubleheader, and just make it better and better. And then when the other venues in the other cities see how successful and how productive it is in terms of making the community more involved, giving opportunities for children, the economic benefits, the inspiration that the sports will mean to the young people growing up, and the value of sports in their lives, the other cities are going to copy it and steal it.
Sure.
But that's the way life works, and it's all good.
And you hope they do.
Yeah.
You know, it's a win. I love that. Anytime you get that, you got a good deal.
But there's no place like Petco Park. There's no place like San Diego.
I know Petco Park wasn't around when you were playing at UCLA, but this must be pretty nice for the college players to know that they're going to come to a ballpark.
So my mom came to San Diego in 1940 when she was 13 years old. And Lane Field, she came from Brooklyn, and so she was a Dodger fan. And so Lane Field was the place to go for my mom. And then when I was a boy growing up in La Mesa, Westgate Park, where Fashion Valley is today, and I used to ride my bike down Friars Road before they built the freeways, and you just come right down Mission Valley through all the cornfields and all the dairy farms, and then you just go right over to out to Westgate Park and go in and see Chico Ruiz and Tony Perez, and it was just fantastic, and I had so much fun, and I got so many foul balls, and I would to be able to come here today and sit on the couch next to Randy and take RJ's spot, right, and to be able to get a baseball from Randy Jones, how fantastic is that? Can we get some barbecue today or not?
We can. I can handle it.
There is some stuff here. There's food here.
I know a guy.
You know, guy? Oh, good.
I'll take care of you.
Okay.
He's got his autographed bottle of barbecue sauce right behind him.
Fantastic. There it is.
I love the sauce. I love Randy Jones.
I'll tell you what.
I love baseball.
Bill, you know
what? I was a terrible baseball player, though. Jeez.
Too big of strikes on
Well,
that.
Man.
I love to pitch to you.
That curveball that comes at your head, right, and then drops in for a strike, I didn't like that one
you
at all.
On no, that
I,
one.
Oh, yes, I bailed out quickly.
Yeah. Well, it's a very exciting event, Bill.
That's great.
We're looking
Jordan.
Forward to it. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. And it should
10
be
o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. You got to be there early.
Very early. And like you said, tickets will go fast.
Oh, it's sell out immediately. There's going to be 18,000 fixed seats, but we're going to fill this place up.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be incredible how exciting it is and to see what the schools are going to do. Because I love the startup world, and that's all the college students and how they come in and they got the big dreams, and they're just going to come. And what we see every game at San Diego State with Steve Fisher and Jim Stark, the great athletic director there, and the business of sports that San Diego State has become. I mean, this is the flagship basketball program west of Lexington, Kentucky.
But you know what I like, though? It's not just one day. It's not the 5th. It's the 5th.
It's all day long.
No,
yeah.
It's a week.
We're going to be bringing all the children in. We're going to be bringing all the children in from all over town, and all the business community will get involved here. We'll be having the events and all different kinds of events. Everything's in the planning stages. There's everything's on the table, and we're coming up with every possible idea just to make this the greatest thing ever.
Awesome.
And I'm just proud and honored, privileged and humbled to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's a great partnership.
Thanks, Bill. That's
very
awesome.
Great.
Man.
Yeah. Now, do you get to wear that San Diego State shirt every day?
Every single day I could. I do not, though.
You do not. You wash it every now and again.
I have to.
Okay, so what about the USD people? Aren't they going to call in and complain like crazy?
I would hope not. We're talking about them. USD,
well, I know, but you're not wearing their shirt.
Well, I told you. You got to scholarship the shirt.
Really?
Give Jordan a shirt. Might see it.
I've got a nice USD shirt at home.
There it is.
USD back in the mid-1960s, that was the first time I ever met John Wooden. I was just a very young player, and he had no idea who I was. But my first coach, Rocky, who was a San Diego native, Sweetwater High School, San Diego City fireman, chief of engine company number 10 out there in East San Diego, he arranged for me to go to this clinic that Coach Wooden and Bill Sharman and Rudy LaRusso all put on at USD, and I got to
meet. How about that?
Oh, fantastic, yes. Wow. Oh, well, look, I used to have red hair. I used to have hair. Oh, my gosh.
Is that the first thing you think of when seeing these pictures?
Oh, my God. I haven't seen
these
in a while. Oh, Coach Wooden, yes.
That's great.
He didn't like to wear the tie-dyes himself, no, but I do.
No?
I've got to get Mike D to make me a tie-dye shirt like this at Padres over.
Might be able to arrange it.
Yeah, that's a great idea, tie-dye Padres jersey.
Well, because that way when I eat all my Randy Jones barbecue and have the barbecue sauce, you can't tell.
You won't be able to
spill.
Tell.
You know, because I had to stop. I have this very nice jersey from when I was most fortunate to throw out the first pitch, which took me three times to get it across.
We have that video
if you
want to see it. Here it is.
I was here, yeah.
And so the first
one, my gosh.
It's not that bad.
That hurt. That hurt.
Oh, man. That's just terrible. Come on.
Get man.
The catcher, he always tries to get me to give it up right away. But until I get it over, I'm going to stay out there.
Good job.
Even in there with the lineups at the end.
Well, I don't throw the ball anymore. You know, after all my surgeries, I just ride my bike. And I just try to keep real straight and just sure I keep going. But I'm doing fantastic, and to be able to come down here and be part of the Padres Social Hour.
You fit right in with the socks.
Yeah, the socks are good.
Socks are very good. I like the colors.
Yeah, rainbow.
And the tie-dye all, with the logo for this.
All-inclusive. Here we go.
Well, Bill, we appreciate you coming by.
You throwing me out of here now?
Yeah,
you can stay the whole hour. We can just stay with the couch right now. I feel like I'm the one that needs to leave.
I'm starving. San Francisco tonight, right?
Yeah, the Giants
game.
Are here.
Okay.
Bruce Bochy and his squad.
Yeah. And how do the fans treat Bruce Bochy here?
Oh, they're nice to him.
They're nice.
You know, they like him a lot better after we beat him. When we beat him, they like him a lot.
San Diego fans are awesome.
I love
them. They're just so great. They love their our Padres.
Our Padres.
They love San Diego. They're like me. It's just fantastic.
Bill Walker, one of a kind, man.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I know Randy Jones.
I love you.
Barbecue.
Good man.
Man, what's the best stand? Or are they all good?
They're all good.
They're all good. As long as it's got your name on it,
they're
I know it's
class.
Quality.
Got good
Here
employees.
We go.
Everybody does a great job.
Nothing like Petco Park.
That's it, baby.
Here we go. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you, San Diego.
Love to have you. I look forward to doing this basketball festival.
Yeah.
I'm going to be down checking it out.
You're going to come as my guest, right?
I'm going to be here.
And then maybe you and I can have a little show. I
love it.
Yeah, we'll have a little show about the game.
Yeah, Seth, can we do a show during that?
Definitely, I'm in.
Okay.
We're in.
I'm in.
We'll do a social hour.
On this couch?
That. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I'm looking forward to that.
We'll bring a Bill Walton bobblehead down here, and we'll put it right on.
Right next to mine.
I got one. I'll put it on there.
Is it taller than mine?
Yes, it is.
Ah, dang it. I should have known.
That's probably a very tall bobblehead.
I am a bobblehead.
I love you, buddy.
All right. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks, Randy.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United. Bill Walton is the coolest person on the planet. That's all I got to say. You're pretty cool, Bavacqua. Bill Walton, to me, is like the coolest guy ever. I'm excited about the Bill Walton Basketball Festival coming up this winter at Petco. And, of course, the State USD game on the field, basketball on the field here at Petco Park. Really, really cool thing. So I appreciate Bill stopping by the other day. Sorry I missed that. And I haven't met him yet since I've moved here. Like, I've seen him a couple of times, but I haven't met him yet, so hopefully we can get that done later on. I want to go back to Papelbon a little bit, because you and I, we kind of said our piece, and to me, I said, I feel like there's a generational shift taking place here, where the throwing at guys for bat flips, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is becoming less and less appropriate. And so, of course, that elicited some responses. So here's, like, one from each side. And I think this is what we're talking about. You know, our buddy Ed, cranky Ed, but he goes, hey, Kurt, right on. Sick and tired of seeing players too good to run out plays. He's with you. He didn't like the way Bryce Harper ran after popping up in that meaningless game yesterday. Not that I'm trying to slip my opinion in there. Friar Fever, you know, on the other side, he says, hey, Jesse is 100% right about the generational shift. I find myself disagreeing with RJ and Bavakwa more often. And I don't think he's taking a shot at you the same way I don't think Ed is taking a shot at me. I really think there's a shift taking place right now, and it is going to have, like, major repercussions in the game of baseball.
What shift, though? I don't understand the shift thing.
There was a time when, like, you wouldn't even consider flipping your bat, right? Like, you knew you were going to get it in the ear hole. And now there are still people that believe you should get it in the ear hole when you flip your bat. There are other people who are like, no big deal. And that goes back to Harper, Machado, Papelbon last week. And I just think that you're going to have more and more Harper-like players come into the game. And when they are the stars, they're going to be the ones dictating the tone of Major League Baseball. And I think it is changing.
So soon we're going to have 25 players on a team that when they want to, they don't have to run out of ball, and everybody's going to be fine with it. They're going to go in the clubhouse. They're never going to bicker. They're never going to argue.
No.
They're going to live 181 days a year with one another.
They're going to handle things differently. They're probably going to be more demonstrative in positive ways and not negative ways. They're going to celebrate achievements more than punishing them. That's what they're going to be more interested in. They're going to be more interested in celebrating the good plays and less interested in punishing the good plays.
We've always celebrated the good plays.
Not the players haven't, because you got guys like Papelbon throwing at dudes for hitting home runs, for literally doing nothing but his job. Machado didn't go crazy. He didn't turn around 360 degrees like Barry Bonds and trot to first base. He hit a home run late in the game, not even against Papelbon.
I think Papelbon's taken a beating on this thing for...
Gave a beating.
He deserved it. He deserved it in a way.
I don't know about that. At Evans Tire and Service Centers.
No, not Machado. I'm talking about Papelbon. He deserves some tongue lashing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he's getting that. And he
but
has
not 100% against him.
Okay. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy two select tires, get two free.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
All right, we're going to move on from Papelbon because we're just going to go around and around and around in circle. With all of this. One other thing from yesterday's game, KB, James Shields got to 200 innings and exceeded 200 innings pitched for the ninth consecutive season. Only guy to do that in baseball. Look, it has not been a stellar season for James Shields, obviously, with the home runs, everything. But that kind of durability, that's got great value to a ball club, doesn't
it? Really
it
really does. I mean, I think we've got a couple of guys on this baseball team that fall into that category, and James prides himself on that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons he got the money that he got to come over here, because you knew what you were going to get from James Shields.
All right, one more fan question. When we come back, even if it's an off day, Blooper says we got to go. We'll wrap up Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, KB, we're running out of time, so we're going to put you on the Cholula hot seat here. Blooper is rushing us, but it happens. How about this question from Dennis? Kind of goes back to a little bit what we were discussing with Spangenberg and Jankowski earlier in the show. How important is continuity in the offensive lineup, knowing what spot in the order you occupy, to the success of the 2016 Padres? Forget the 2016 Padres. Does that stuff matter to guys? How important is that? I feel like we hear about it more in the bullpen than we do offensively.
There are certain positions in the lineup that benefit greatly by who's hitting in front of you or who's hitting behind you. And I think that's very obvious. There are other spots in the lineup that I would say, you know, it's a toss-up.
What about for a guy, like knowing he's the three-hitter or the four-hitter, whatever it is, how that can impact him individually?
If you've got somebody hitting behind you that's swinging a bat good, it's got the ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark, you're going to get pitches to hit.
That's what you care about.
If you're Justin Upton, and there's nobody hitting behind you that's swinging a bat good, I mean, we saw it earlier in the year. He's not going to get pitches to hit.
All right, that was Kurt on the Cholula hot seat. That's going to do it for us. Jordan will be back tomorrow with me, and we'll do the show at 5:30 before the final homestand series of the season gets underway.